Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, we've talked about the fact that the devil wants to confuse us. He is a real adversary. He is powerful. He's intelligent. And he's been around a while. He knows what he's doing. He's got his tactics. And he is at war against the saints full time. This is not a sideline pastime of his. This is what he's all about. And we need to be aware, the Bible says, of his schemes. We need to realize that he is a liar and the father of lies. We need to understand that the main battleground is our minds and that what he does is to try to confuse us and get us to believe things that aren't true and to do things that aren't right. So, having talked about the difference between conviction versus condemnation, the difference between real guilt versus false guilt, the difference between temptation and sin, and the difference between attraction and lust, today we want to talk about the difference between forgiveness versus trust. Forgiveness versus trust. And I want to give you a thesis statement. Please keep it in mind. It will be enormously helpful in discerning the difference between these two things. Forgiveness is always only based on grace. Second part, trust is earned. If you would look in your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 4, but Ephesians 4, 17 and following, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up, according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Heavenly Father, please grant us understanding of this, your holy word. One of the things I love about living where I do is that we have a magnificent western view from the front porch. And so we watch the sun progress in its course from the dead of winter, where it is over to the left side of Round Top, the peak, to midsummer, when it is way over here on the horizon. It goes back and forth every year as the days get longer and shorter, and we love watching the sunset. Night after night, most nights are spectacular. Some are just pretty. One thing we have never succeeded in doing, and we've lived in that house since autumn of 93, one thing we've never succeeded in doing is preventing the sunset. I mean, we love it, but we can't even prolong the sunset. The earth is spinning at a steady speed, and the sun goes down. Now, obviously, we're the ones who are turning away from it, but the fact is, it is not anything we can control. And yet Paul says something here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that we need to consider. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. So what do? Say, hold on, I'm not finished with this. Does that work? No. Obviously, the changeable thing is our anger. That we can do something about. God tells us in his word that we need to deal with our anger now. Well, how do you do that? I'm so glad you asked. God tells us we're supposed to deal with our anger by forgiving people. Look at verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. It's commanded. You must forgive. That's how you deal with anger. You forgive. Well, I think maybe I could deal with my anger just by punching somebody in the nose. Well, that's not biblical. Okay? It's probably not even legal. This isn't the only place it says it, but the reason I want us to look at this passage in particular is because what it says up here about our anger is that if we don't deal with it properly, we're giving the devil a foothold. In all the years of counseling that I've done with people and all the multitude of cases where we've dealt with some areas of real spiritual bondage and even demonic stronghold, the most common, it's not the only way, but the most common way that the enemy has gained a foothold in a person's life is through unforgiveness.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Some years ago, my sister and her husband gave my wife and me an older car that they had driven for a number of years. It was a really cool Peugeot, which was wonderful. I mean, it was so cool and so comfy, and it was so dependable, but eventually I was ready to trade up and get another car, a newer car. So I sold the Peugeot, put it for sale, couple came to the house, took it for a test drive, bought it. Within the hour after they bought it, a friend of mine breathlessly came knocking on my door and told me, Jim, the person you sold the Peugeot to, they are down there on Main Street in Chatham, and they are just driving that thing so terribly, they're going to tear it up. My first impulse, he was so breathless. My first impulse was like, oh. And then I thought, wait a minute. Why should I care? It's not my car anymore. I got my money. They're not test driving it and treating it that way. They've already bought it. I've already been paid. They're gone. So's the car. It's over. It's done. It's not my responsibility. I got nothing to do with that. If they tear up that car, stupid on them. You understand? Now, folks, if you forgive somebody, it means you release it. It's like, okay, that I don't have to do anything about that anymore. I don't have to carry that. I don't have to fuss about it. I don't have to look back and think, you owe me. No, it's gone. Joseph, who was abducted, put in a pit, sold as a slave by his brothers, who lied to his father and made the father think that he was dead, Joseph forgave his brothers. He forgave them and he said to them, I don't even want you to feel badly about it, because you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Joseph understood that God's plan was for him to be in Egypt so that he would be able to save the lives of countless people, including those miserable brothers of his. Okay? He'd be able to save the life of his aged father and tons of other people, including himself. God used what the brothers of Joseph did to Joseph for the salvation of many. It was a foreshadowing of Jesus, who would be mistreated and killed so that there would be eternal life for all who trust in him. And so Joseph says, I don't even want you to feel badly about it, because God was at work. God is working all things together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. That's what Paul tells us in Romans. God's doing that right now in your life. You say, well, this isn't right. Well, it wasn't right what his brothers did. Joseph didn't say to them, hey, guys, listen, it's okay. I know you didn't mean it for evil. Yeah, they did. Forgiveness is not the same thing as rationalizing somebody's behavior. Well, I'm sure they didn't mean it. Well, what if they did? Well, then I don't have to forgive them. Yes, you do. Okay? You don't have to make excuses for other people. You don't have to minimize it. You don't have to pretend it never happened. What? You don't have anything to apologize for. Well, very possibly they do. Okay? But whether they apologize or not, that's not the basis on which they're forgiven. Forgiveness is always only based on grace. Ephesians 4:32. And to fail to forgive is not only to sin against God, but thereby to give the devil a foothold. You're giving him a place to stand in your life. You're yielding an aspect of you to him. Now, I will tell you this. People give the devil a foothold through other things. Through dishonesty, through sexual sin, through greed, all kinds of stuff. But I believe that it is especially tied to unforgiveness. Because not only is that the emphasis here, when he says, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. But it's also, as I said, been my experience in counseling people as we've prayed through where the problem originates. Time and again, that root of bitterness, because somebody is still holding on to anger against somebody who they believe wronged them and may well have wronged them. And God says, let it go. Forgive. But they've never said, I'm sorry. Okay, that brings up another subject. At what point do we need to forgive the person who offended us? Well, if they say they're sorry, should they say they're sorry? Yeah. If the person doesn't acknowledge what they've done wrong, they will not receive your forgiveness. Okay? If they don't acknowledge it, they're not going to receive your forgiveness. But that's not because you haven't forgiven them. The forgiveness is extended whether they receive it or not. Please understand that because it is very important. The forgiveness is extended whether or not they receive it. They may never acknowledge what they did, or you may be needing to forgive somebody who died 9 years ago. Well, I can't forgive them now because they died. You need to forgive them, but they're dead. Yeah, you can forgive them, but it was years ago. Well, then it's past time for you to do what you need to do. Do it now. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Well, I'm not really angry anymore. You know, you got a little tick there. What's going on? Well, I don't. Just whenever their name comes up. Well, then you still need to forgive that person. But after what they did, I don't think I could ever trust them. You don't have to trust them. The number one reason that I have found why many people find it hard to forgive somebody is because they are confused about the difference between forgiveness and trust. They think that in order to forgive somebody, you've got to trust that person. You've got to try and rebuild a friendship. Let's be buddies again. And you're thinking, you know, I've tried that about a half a dozen times, and every time I end up with a knife in my back. I just cannot trust that person anymore. You don't have to trust that person ever again. You do not ever have to trust that person again. Let's go back to those thesis statements at the start. Forgiveness is always only based on grace. Trust is earned. Pastor, I've heard a number of sermons and I've read a couple of books that say if you really fully forgive someone, you have to treat them as if nothing happened. Yeah, I'm very familiar with those sermons and those books, and they're wrong. Well, I mean, they really made a case from Scripture. No, actually, I'll be happy to discuss any of those with you. They overlooked a number of Scriptures, but I'm going to give you my favorite, okay? Take a look, just for the moment, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. This is also the reading of God's word. Alexander the metalworker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. Oh, Paul, I can't believe you put that in this letter to Timothy. You need to forgive Alexander. Is that what's happening here? Paul's failure to forgive Alexander the metalworker. No. This isn't about forgiveness. This is about trust. Saying that guy is a bad dude. He has really opposed our message. He caused a great deal of harm. And you also need to be on your guard against him. If a person has wronged you, you need to forgive him. But you don't have to trust them again in order to forgive them. Now, is it ever possible for a person to re-earn trust? Yes, in many cases it is. I'm not saying you forgive them and immediately you trust them. God's not saying you forgive them and immediately you trust them. Oh, so you've gotten over your drug addiction, went through treatment? That's very good. Just to show that we are so proud of you for overcoming that addiction, I'm going to give you a job in the pharmacy. Good idea, bad idea? Bad idea. Church treasurer in Atlanta, Georgia. Not my church, but another church. The church treasurer turned out to be an embezzler. Wow. He was confronted. He was very apologetic. He was so sorry. He wept, please forgive me. So they kept him as the church treasurer. Crazy. That's a setup. He did it again. He did it again. Alcoholics should not be bartenders. People with porn addictions should not start a ministry to strip clubs. You understand? Trust is earned. And once people discover that they don't have to trust the person that they're supposed to forgive, it becomes much easier to forgive that person. Because it's not about how you feel, and it's not about rebuilding this close relationship. It's about choosing to do what God says and say, God, in light of what you have done for me, I've got nothing to hold against this person. I am not going to try and get you to get them. Paul says very matter-of-factly that the Lord will repay him. Same word he uses over in Romans. Where did he get it? He got it from God. Well, you mean because the scriptures are inspired? Yeah, but also because he was quoting scripture in Romans when he said, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. That's what God says. So do you really think you need to settle scores with anybody? God commands us to get out of the way and let him handle it. Leave room for the wrath of God. Let God deal with it. So we should just be praying, okay, God, you get them. No. What we're commanded to do is pray, Lord, have mercy. You saved me. I know you can save them. Please, have mercy. When we do that, God is moving us into conformity to the likeness of Christ, who dying on the cross says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yeah, but that was just Jesus. I mean, he's perfect. Anybody else, you know? Well, what about Stephen, the first Christian martyr? As they're stoning him to death, prays and says, Lord, do not hold this to their account. When we start praying for God to show mercy to those who have wronged us, now we're starting to walk in the Spirit. Because Jesus said we're supposed to love our enemies and do good to those who've wronged us. But that doesn't mean you have to trust them. Those are still not the same thing. You don't have to pretend nothing happened. You do need to forgive. It is wrong to trust a rapist. It is wrong to trust a child molester. It is wrong to put people who have not earned trust into a position of trust. When the prodigal sons were confronted by their father, the forgiveness was already there. Whether it was the one whom he saw at a distance and ran to him, he didn't let him finish his speech. The boy was all set to make this apology speech, and his dad cut him off by turning and summoning the servants and telling them how to treat this guy that he'd been kissing, even though he smelled like pigs. But don't we have to ask forgiveness in order to be forgiven? No, as I said earlier, you have to acknowledge what you've done wrong and ask forgiveness in order to receive the forgiveness that is already being extended. Jesus died for you before you were born. Jesus died for you before you committed that sin. He's not waiting around to decide what to do with you based on how you respond. If you do not receive his grace, you do not have his grace. But it's not because he's standing there saying, you've got to convince me first. Show me that you're really sorry, and then I'll decide. Father, thank you so much for the truth of your word. Thank you for the power of your word. Help us to walk in the light as you are in the light. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.